Blog Talk Radio.
We are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Ba, ba, ba.
This is TwoBlackSheepRadio.com with Bob Granger and Dave Wilkerson.
We're being a black sheep. It's a good thing.
You never know what they're going to say.
And tonight, Bob, that could be one of those nights when I don't know what I'm going to say. But hey, hello, everybody. I'd like to thank you all for joining us. I could start this out and say, welcome to WCKG Radio from Chicago. Because believe it or not, two black sheep have sort of stuck our head above the pasture, and it appears that we've got a radio station would like us to go with them live in the Chicago market. That's pretty interesting. I'm not so sure they know what they're in for. What do you think, Bob?
I think that they're going to be surprised, and it'll be so much fun. How you doing tonight, Dave?
I've had a depressing week in a way. I mean, I'm great. I'm down with my grandkids. But I'm really fighting the health thing. So I'm a little discouraged with myself today. So I'm going to get myself out of it for the show, for the betterment of the show. I worked on it a little while ago. And like I said, some of the stuff that we've got here for everybody, we are definitely off the cuff because that's how you and I work the best. You know, Bob, that's one thing we discovered as part of our friendship is that we're better off sometimes just speaking exactly what hits our mind and pray that we don't take people out with the words.
And that's what it's going to be tonight, too, Dave, because it was, I mean, I was listening to the introduction, you know, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, we decided what we're going to talk about tonight, you know, a little over an hour ago, so that's kind of cool, you know.
Yeah. So, well, a lot of it comes down to play is that, you know, we're going to talk about leadership, and we're going to dive right into it after we get through our little idle chit-chat, our beginning, like, hey, how are you type stuff, because I am excited to talk about it, only because of the fact that it's just so important. If you want to have any form of success in network marketing, you've got to find leaders, and you got to be a leader. Now, Bob, in your case, I mean, you've excelled anyhow despite having zero leadership capability. Well, you're pretty good. You know, you do get me on the phone. You do keep me centered. So I guess you are leading me, which is, I give you kudos for that one.
But, Dave, I have to, before we get started, I have to tell you a great story. It could have been a tragic story, though. But it was great. Kind of great. You know, but here's what it comes down to. I almost caused a 7-car pileup the other day. It was so close.
How is that kind of great?
No,
oh, in the car,
in the car wash. Okay, so here's what happened. Because, you know, I don't really get real frazzled. You know, being an alien, not an illegal alien. I mean, an outer space alien with rhino skin, can't be penetrated. I mean, some people can get underneath it, but we won't talk about that. But, you know, so I don't get frazzled that much, right? So, but anyway, so for the last couple of months or something with the Audi, I've had a little... Every now and then, the parking brake light would come on, you know. And so I had it in for service, and the guy says, yeah, it's a bad module. You know, whenever you bring it in for the next service change, you know, we'll bring it in. It's really a pain in the neck to program. And so, you know, I says, okay, no problem. It's not going to be a problem. And he says, no, you won't have a problem. I says, okay. So anyway, you know, a few days ago, it was a beautiful day. You know, it's been getting nicer out, Now, I have a question to ask you, too. But how come they don't call it the polar vortex, too, like we were talking about? I mean, all kinds of record colds. Anyway, so anyway, it was a beautiful day.
Oh, we are going to get in trouble tonight, aren't we? I know that for sure. This will be fun. Okay, I'm ready. I'm getting excited now.
Okay, so anyway, so it was a beautiful day, and, like, I have one of those car wash deals where you have unlimited car washes. It's like $38.
Yep.
So if you figure in the super deluxe type of deal, you figure if you go 3 times a month, you break even. I usually go about 2-3 times a week. You know, it's a great deal. So, but anyway, the place is packed this day. It was beautiful out. You know, everybody's in line, you know, and so I get in. I'm going through, and I'm in a good mood because blue sky, good time. So anyway, I'm going through the car wash, and it's really it's a good one. So
sunroof open.
Yeah. Well, no. But so anyway, so I get to the end, and you know, it's in neutral, and so you have to tap the brake, you know, to so you'll drift out, and so you can put it in drive, you know, to go forward. So I'm driving out the end, you know, and I tap the brake, and the car stops. You know, it like slams on the brakes. I'm saying, what the?
Oh, boy.
You know, and like, yeah. So anyway, you know, that's got a 425 horse V8, and I don't know what the heck the problem is. I thought maybe, you know, like the car mat had hit the brake or something. And so I goose it, you know, I hit it, right? And in the meantime, you know how when all your brakes are on and you goose it, like that power lock, you know, your car like lifts up in the air and doesn't go anyplace?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying, what in the world? And so now I got these flashing lights, brake lights, and parking lot lights all over my dashboard. Right now, this is an electronic parking brake. There's no pedal or any of that. There's nothing manual there. Right, so in the meantime, I'm looking behind me, and there's lights coming on. Right, and so I'm thinking,
sure.
Oh man, I'm gonna crash the whole car wash here. So I'm doing everything, taking it in and out of gear, slamming on the gas. I'm trying to power brake it like a drag car. I'm doing everything, pushing every button, hitting the systems, and you know how I am with technology anyway. You know, and so I figured
horrible.
The more buttons I can hit, oh, yeah, worse. You know, but anyway, just before the guy runs into me, just before, and he's laying on his horn. I mean, I'm gonna jam up the entire car wash. There was four cars in there. It's a big one, right? Just before the guy slams into me, you know, all of a sudden the thing releases. Now I have the thing revved up. I go flying forward. I have to go into a power slide to miss like the, you know, the vacuum tank stations, you know, and,
you're
and
a
the
nightmare.
People are looking, oh, everybody's looking at me like I'm some kind of a old, you know, like a marshmallow fluff guy, you know, but anyway, so I'm recovering for that. I recovered.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I was a little frazzled, you know, but you know, like I didn't cause a chain car wreck, and but it was very interesting, and I took the car into the shop to get it.
Well, let me ask you a question though. Did the car look good though after it came out of the car wash?
It looked awesome. Yeah.
That's good. So, what are you back to a rental car again?
No, actually, I have it back, but they still can't get it programmed, and so the trunk won't shut now. But
well, listen, right. Hey, remind me not to ride anywhere with you for a while, okay? At least
until
you can get
stuff
figured
out
because,
okay,
you know, electronics, no. Yeah, especially with you. It's almost like, you know, you talk about being like MacGruber, but you're no MacGyver when it comes to electronics.
Oh,
you know,
no.
No question
no.
in that way.
Yeah, there's no question. But anyway, I thought
you know,
find
it,
that interesting, you know.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, I love that. Of course, I have not had to deal with that. I know, again, I get to send pictures to my buddy Rob when he's talking about the weather, and I'll send him. And I just love to do this. I love to, you know, send him, you know, the little weather map that shows it's 81 degrees down here. And then I'll send him pictures of my shadow, you know, things like that. we live to torture each other. And I think you know that. I think it's part of why you develop good friendships. But also, look, you know, we do want to get serious tonight. Believe it or not, Bob,
right.
You ready to get a little serious?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
You sure now?
Yeah, well, I like the topic tonight. I do. It's a fun
okay.
topic. Of course, all of our topics are fun.
Well, because I can lead you astray.
You probably can. You probably can.
Okay.
Let's try not tonight.
Well, no, that's the first lesson. The first lesson is understanding when you've got to be careful, too. It's time when maybe you need to up your game and become the leader if you think a leader is leading you astray. How's that?
Well, I like it. I like it. You know, and a real leader can understand that and kind of understands the direction to go in. You know that.
I agree. And things change, too. You know, so along the way, your skill set has to increase. Or in some cases, you might have to even get out of the way and hopefully some of the leaders you help to develop and create can take over, and you back it off a little bit. But let's talk about that, Bob. You know, when we talk about what you look for in a leader, I think it's a real small, you know, space set. You know, it's like, you know, we always talk about that 1% out there, the 10% out there. I think you talk about the difference between someone that can lead a small group and lead a large group are two different animals.
Well, yeah, what's your
No, I was going to say, what's your thoughts on the type of leader that you look for? And then we're going to drill down and we're going to talk about how you uncover that leader and how you promote, recognize, and guide that leader. But give it to me from your mindset.
I don't know. There's so many different things to crop up when you think about that. You know, I guess one of the biggest keys when I'm looking at somebody and talking, I mean, over the years, you know, it's been very interesting. All the people I've worked with and different kinds of businesses I've owned and businesses I've managed and things like this. I guess one of the biggest things is someone that has a great thirst of knowledge, a thirst for knowledge. You know, I mean, I always had that myself. I remember back when I was really, really young, you know, just out of college, and I was working in a gourmet restaurant, and this was an unbelievable place. You know, even though I had a BSBA in hotel restaurant management, I was
right.
in a gourmet
yep.
restaurant because I loved elegant food and things like this. And this was ranked, the Quagliato's White House was ranked the best between Chicago and New York City. It was located in Cleveland. And we lived in Cleveland. Linda and I lived in Cleveland. And I worked in this elegant restaurant that had 12 tables in it only. It was, and it looked like it was gorgeous. It had a tree going up in the middle of it. And they had 13 of us on the floor in tuxedos. You know, and I cooked for Danny Thomas and, you know, like Sammy Davis Jr. and Florence Henderson, Shirley MacLaine, all these, you know, and a lot of mafia people and that. And the thing was, I had this thirst of knowledge. And
right.
and I had the owner, Carl Quagliata, he recognized that. And he worked with me, and I would come in and do extra things, not getting paid, to learn.
Right.
You know, and he took me under his wing and taught me how to be a chef and a great preparer, because we prepared things at the table, you know, up to 13, 14 courses right at the table. It was unbelievable. But he taught me by, the, you know, like that, his leadership was showing me by example. And he would say, hey, Grange, I'm doing this, you know, and you want to come in? And I'd come in. I wouldn't get paid for it. But I had this great thirst for knowledge, you know, and so over the years, I've been able to recognize that with people. And when they have that thirst of knowledge, no matter what it is, I gravitate to that person, and it's a mutual type of thing. And then the way that I show my lead, I show the lead by doing, and then hoping that they're going to get better than I. Because if they get better than I, that's what we look for, is we look to develop leaders that
Absolutely.
Are better than us, you know.
Absolutely.
I think that thirst of knowledge is one of the first things.
Yeah, because that's how it's always been determined. And they always say, find someone who's smarter than what you are at all times. And if you can cultivate that in someone, boy, that's even better. You know, I know that when I started my business, right in the very first days, and actually, like, whether it be a network marketing or a traditional business, I still did it all the same way. I always looked to minimize my involvement. And again, it sounds a little bit weird, but at the same point, it's because I wanted to create other leaders that could duplicate so that I wouldn't always have to be the go-to person. You know, I enjoy starting companies. I didn't ever really enjoy running the companies, but I love to start them. I love to create them from an idea and then, you know, ramp them up like we did a couple of them where I had upwards of, you know, 150, 200, 300 employees for one of them. And but what was more fun for me is watching the people that I brought in those early stages become the leader and be able to take over. And that meant that if I wanted to take that vacation, I could do that. Now, in network marketing, it's even more critical. You know, I remember Tom and a bunch of you used to laugh at me all the time when I used to say that my goal is to become as obsolete as fast as I can. Now, that's impossible unless you have good leaders. Absolutely impossible.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things, Dave, that you've talked about often, and I think that we should probably get together and discuss it more and bring it to the table for MLM, the industry, is that level leaders that you talk about. Because what happens, you know as well as I do, I mean, all the wealth books out there talk about the fact of duplication, and then you want your business to flourish while you're not around. You know, that's
exactly
the goal, you know. And so with network marketing, what happens, unfortunately, if you can have some great leaders, but they may be scattered in your business. And if you have some voids, you know, in those levels, boy, that can be tough on your business. You know, you'll never create that real momentum, that real strength. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we always talk about, you know, the old adage is you bring three, who gets three, who gets three. You know, but the problem is though, if you get three and then one of them takes off, and you just go from that one all the way down, you end up having a sort of a weak organization. Again, it doesn't matter how many levels they pay you on. If you go down to the bottommost level, let's say it's level 7, and that's suddenly where you have all your growth, yeah, that may be great for your paycheck. But if everything in between all that is pretty sparse, that means that you're going to be, you know, working really hard to lead all the time. And you've done it all on one leg. You know, I'll give everybody just a quick thumbnail sketch of the level leaders. Because you can do this with whatever you're working on. And it's really no different than, again, if I was running a traditional company. You know, it's just in a traditional business, I don't put people on a level per se. And what they mean is how they came into the business, you know, because I hired them all. So it's a different story. But in network marketing, the first person I'd bring in would be level 1. And it would go all the way down. So I might have somebody on level 1, level 2, level 3, and multiple people on each of those levels that I recognize in an early age that have the ability maybe to get up and speak in front of a room. They have the ability to attract quality people, and I watch them working with people. You know, they're not the type that are just really good at recruiting, you know, bringing lots and lots of people, but those people don't duplicate. You know, I'm looking for somebody that can, and again, it's not based on the quantity they bring them, it's the quality and how they work with them, but I'm going to look for somebody on each level all the way down. So if I have a strong, you know, team of 2 or 3 people on level 1, and you go down to level 4, I've got, you know, 27, 30 people who are strong. You know, what's that going to do to your organization, Bob?
Oh, gosh. And the thing is, Dave, that I think that so many people lose track of in networking, network marketing, you know, and direct sales and that, is that it's really no different than a corporation. I mean, a corporation, if you look at major corporations, as you go down into the different tiers or different levels, they look and cultivate great management. You know,
right.
And it might be districts. It might be districts or different states or whatever, but they have someone that's in charge of a certain district or state, and that's their level leader in that area, and it's no different. If more and more people would understand that the network marketing businesses are so similar, really similar, if you want to have a powerful business, than standard business. I mean, I'm finding in my own business some of my best leaders are very successful business people because over the years they've developed into being tremendous leaders within their business.
Because of skill sets.
And their business has flourished, and they're able to take that, and it's an automatic for them when they get into the network-based business. You know, time and time again, and all of the people that are really doing well in my personal business, my gosh, they're great business people. You know, and the ones that are having a little bit difficulties are people that haven't had that experience over the years. You know, and that's our goal, is to be able to help those people understand that it's going to take time for themselves to cultivate into a real good business leader, and also they have to have patience with the people that are within their business. Yeah, I mean, I see so many people that call me up and they get very frustrated with their business, especially now with all the promos and things not going according to plan with many of them, you know, and they're frustrated. Mm-hmm. But those people coming into their business, well, they haven't been leaders themselves, and so it takes time, you know, for them to develop. And so you have to push off that frustration. You have to be patient with them, and you have to work with them. You know, I think network marketing drives me crazy, just like I know it does you, that people become impatient with people, and they say, well, forget about them. I'm going to somebody.
Yeah, they don't
else.
Want it. They don't want it bad enough. Right.
Yeah, it's awful. You know, I think that, you know, I'm not saying I'm correct, but boy, I just hate, I think everybody needs a very, very good effort from the leader to pull out that person and see if they want to change their life.
Well, you know, I very rarely had to fire or let some people go from my traditional companies. Okay. And I view that almost the same thing with network marketing business, that I'm going to make an investment. Okay, so I look for those people I consider leaders. And listen, the easiest way for everybody who's on the show tonight, they can look at their organization. You know, it helps you if you have, you know, 10, 20 people in your organization at least. You know, but if you don't have that many, again, the idea is the same thing. You start off right with a good foundation, but I would bring up and look at my people that I personally sponsored, and let's say you brought in 10 that you personally sponsored, but only two of them you consider, you know, good leaders. And again, we're going to go in detail on how you determine a good leader. But I would put those two in a separate paper, and I would, you know, call them L1, L2. You know, it's going to be like thing one, thing two, I guess. But I want to know who they are. And then I'll go down to people that they've sponsored. And I'll look and I'll find and see if there's anyone in there I consider a leader. And my goal would be to get 7 levels of leaders, maybe even 8 levels of leaders, even if it was only a handful on each level. And then I would shift my focus. And this is where it's important. And I want to go over this part in a little bit of detail, Bob. So, you know, feel free to jump in. But when I looked at who those leaders are, you know, I'm really looking for someone that's got the desire and also the talent, but also they have a little bit of that extra oomph, that charisma that makes people around them, whether they're connected to them and their team or not, but you see they gravitate towards them. I mean, we've got some people in Rochester. I'm not going to name anyone specifically, but, you know, this person I'm thinking about is an SC. And, you know, he hasn't really been working the business real hard, but he's got that right. He's got that attitude, and people light up when he's there at the meetings. You know, they just enjoy having him around. Now, that's someone that with a little bit of effort and time, you can cultivate into a big leader for you. And then once they understand and they can do that same thing themselves, that's why teaching this is so important. Once you get someone who becomes a leader, you put them under your wing, you try to guide them and teach them, and you share with them all the ins and outs of building the business. But I'm going to be looking at it, and every week I'll look down through, you know, week one I'll look through my level one, level two, level three. The next week I'm going to look level four, five, and six. And then the third week I'm going to spend all my time on the seventh level because that's the biggest group of people. And I'm going to, you know, do special calls for them. I'm going to give them a little bit more recognition when I'm out there in the field. And again, I'm doing that to try to teach them how to be doing the same thing when they get to the position that they can. Make sense, Bob?
It does. You know, I was like always when I get ready for the radio show, I've always had 12 or 14 hours under my belt, you know, and I need to get something going. So I always exercise, and I always listen to Art Williams do it. And he talks about leadership, you know, and he talks about excitement, you know, and I tell you that's one of the keys about leadership is being able to recognize that person that maintains their excitement and wants to change. You know, Dave, most people, you know, at least 9 out of 10, maybe 93 out of 100, they really don't have a chance to go anything other than week to week. You know, the way that the economy and the era is today, it's not like when I was young. When I was young, you had all kinds of options. You could start businesses. You could do this. I mean, there was a million things that you could do when I was young. But now, today, it's so different. You know.
Well,
so,
hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Bob, when you were young, gas was a dime? You know? You can buy a loaf of bread for a nickel.
When I was driving, 94 was, like 27 cents.
Yeah, you crack me up.
Isn't that awful? Yeah, I mean, you'd be asking your college friends, hey, how many dimes do you have with you? You'd put $2 worth of gas in, you had almost 10 gallons. You know,
yeah, and you go cruise all night. I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, and that's the thing, in looking at your people and deciding who really, really wants it, those are the people, and they're going to get discouraged, Dave. Those people are going to get discouraged, and when we talk about my alphabet tonight, I'll talk about that a little bit. But those people, they're going to get discouraged because they just, you know, they've been kicked in the teeth. They didn't think they had a chance for many years, even if they're young. You know, so if you recognize the fact that they have that talent or desire, those are the people that we have the obligation to say, hey, listen, you know, stay with it. Stay with us here. Come on now. And they can develop into that leader. And it's going to stage. It's going to take time to stage it. You know, but it'll work, though.
Well, you know, isn't that the biggest problem, though? Because, I mean, you've said it a couple times tonight already, and we talk about having patience. You know, and to uncover a leader, it requires patience. You know, I think back to very few of them really, like right away, I knew. And the ones that were like that, they usually were business owners, like you were saying before. They already developed a lot of that. But other ones, it takes a period of time. And then even after that, then you have to spend time with them. You have to mentor them. And they have to want that. You know. So, but what I've done, and it's what we really did when we kicked off New Jersey, I went heavily into this level leader idea, that in the 5-2-6 booklet, which we talked about before. But with the level leaders, I mean, I was looking and I kept talking to everybody, and like I would go and talk to my buddy Eric Martin. I know he's on my fifth level, you know. Tom and Andy, they're on my fifth level. Ari's on my second level, you know. Tim Boland on my first level. I knew the levels people were on, and it wasn't because I was trying to determine how much I was making from them. It's because I wanted a leader, and I wanted to know that I had that part of the foundation covered. You know, it'd be sort of like someone building a house. I want to know who's going to be building the roof, who's putting the shingles on. I also want to know who's going to be building the basement, you know, because you want people with the right skill set, and maybe you have to treat them and work with them a little differently, you know, than what you would someone else. Because, you know, if they're close to you in the business, let's say it's one level, two levels down, you know, chances are good they don't have the same size team that you're dealing with. They may have less people, and for you, you've got less on that level, you know. So you may only have 10, 15 people on level one, and 30 or 40 people on level two. But on your, you know, bottom level, you may end up with thousands, you know. So it only makes sense to have more on those lower levels.
But think about how that philosophy worked for you, Dave. Though, I mean, think about it. Now, if you looked at your business today, now keep in mind, because of your health issues, you haven't been real active. That's number one. Number two. New
real
Jersey,
active. I have not. I've done almost nothing
nice
in the last month.
I know. But then you take New Jersey along with NYSEG, RG&E, and Boston got clobbered last year. You know, with just the industry. The industry clobbered those particular markets, but because of your theory and your philosophy of building level leaders, your business is maintained and is growing. Now, not as fast as it was when we didn't have the issues, but still.
Yeah, to
I mean,
a point.
Think about that philosophy. And that's how important it is to recognize someone that could be a leader. I mean, I've had so many people call me up, especially of late, saying, oh, my gosh, this person is killing me. They could be huge in this business. but I can't take it anymore. And I says, well, that's not the right attitude. You know, like, reach out. Reach out. Find out if life is in the way, what the frustration is. How can we help them to let them know that this can happen for them? See, most people don't think this can happen for them, Dave. You know that as well as I do. They don't think
it. I know.
You know, and
you know,
our job. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just gonna say, the thing is, though, Bob, at the same point, some people think somebody's a leader when they're not.
Oh, boy. I hope to tell
right?
you there.
You know, so yeah. Maybe what we should do is let's talk about that just briefly, okay? And I'm going to use a couple of great examples for people. Because not everybody understands what's considered a leader. And, you know, I'm not going to point to you or I because, you know, God knows some days we're good and some days we're bad. But, I mean, I'm going to we talked earlier about some of the movies that we've seen. And I mentioned two of them, and I'm going to talk about them, and I know you want to mention a couple. But the first one I want to say is Gladiator. You know, if anybody remembers that with Russell Crowe, and they watch people fighting in that ring, they fought with him. You know, because he was an obvious leader. He was someone that they knew that was going to have their back, someone who was looking out for the best interest of the group, you know, even though he was doing it to survive himself, but he knew he would survive more with the group. But, I mean, you look at him, he had that charisma, and he also, he battled to the end. You know, he wasn't going to change his principles for other people. Now, the other one was always, you know, one of my favorites is Braveheart. I know Mel Gibson's done some wacky things in his life, but I love that movie. And part of that was, again, right up to the end where he got butchered, he didn't waver from what his belief was. And that's what inspires some people to want to follow, you know? So that's my idea on the movie side of it, what a leader is. What's yours?
Well, I mean, there's so many great ones, but one of my favorites, it's an old one, there's many people, actually, you should look it up and watch it, Hoosiers. I loved Hoosiers with Gene Hackman. I thought he was just a tremendous leader, and he taught mastering the basic fundamentals and belief in yourself. You know, I love that movie. I've watched it a multitude of times. Another movie I loved was Rudy. With Sean, what's
Absolutely.
Sean's last name, Dave? Oh, my gosh. What a tremendous movie, you know. And these are things that make you understand, and they're true stories. I love that, the fact that they're true stories, you know. And it gives you belief.
Rudy. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, man, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about that right now. But yeah, that's the thing about leadership is that leadership is not born. You're not a born leader. You know, you decide and then you work at it and all of a sudden you develop into it and then all of a sudden somebody tells you that you are one. You know, kind of cool.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think a big part of that is you as a potential leader, you need to attach yourself to some people that have leadership qualities that you like.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely,
and I think, and it doesn't matter whose team you're on. I mean, most people will be more than happy to sort of reach out and guide you, and then you set the tone, and then you're going to find that people want to they want to follow you, and then the fun part is when you've determined that you're a leader. That's when you need to find other people to help them determine when they're a leader, and then you have to let go a little bit.
Big time.
You have to let them. You have to let them run with it, right, Bob? And that's the hard part. But you have to.
Well, you know, I have some leaders in my business that are developing into network leaders, and I don't know if they haven't made the decision yet, or if they're just a little bit frustrated with it. But these individuals, there are several individuals in my business that are in their own careers, are fabulous leaders. And I'm hoping that they're, you know, and I work with them as much as I can and as much as they want, but I'd love to see them metamorphose and take that leadership skill that they have in their careers. And I could name several people and turn that over and blend that into their new business. And if they take those skills that they've learned all their life and they become so just pure with them and turn that over to their network-based business, oh, my gosh, they would do such a justice for so many people, because so many people could learn from them just because of the past history they've had, you know, and the leadership, the leaders they've become.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny, because the more leaders you create and develop, the easier your life is. You know, I know some people can't let go. You know, I don't know if it's because the admiration or just because they start to believe their own press to the point, but, or you watch people that were leaders and all of a sudden they had a promotion or a change in their business. Next thing you know, they're a leader, but, you know, you can't touch them anymore because now they're a leader. You know, and for me, I find it sad when I see that.
Well, that, I think a lot of it has to do with ego, unfortunately. I mean, I see that happen quite often. You know, but those people, to be honest, aren't really great leaders, you know, because they're more focused on themselves than, you know, instead of being focused on the people that you're working with. You know, that's the thing. I tell you what, my greatest joy is watching, you know, some of the leaders develop in my business and watch them get the accolades that they deserve as they get their confidence and their leadership abilities up. That to me is a great joy. You know,
that's beautiful,
and I love seeing that.
That's beautiful. Well, you know what people want to do is they want to go ahead and pull out their little steno pad or their iPad or whatever pad they want to write on, and they should start thinking about those that they personally sponsored and those people down below that, and just put little notations down. And you know, they don't have to be a leader right now, but if you feel like they've got that capability. And this is where we're going to help you learn how to determine that, too. You know, and that's the fun thing is that you review this. I mean, I'll put down a list of leaders, and then I watch what goes on over a 30-day period of time. And, you know, and I'll tell you right now, to me, not all leaders, it doesn't always mean that they're always working 95 hours a week in this business. It might mean they're working 2 hours a week, but, man, are they smart at those 2 hours. Or those 2 hours are spent helping teach other people or helping other people. You know, that's somebody I'd like to follow.
Absolutely. It's so important. It's a great subject. It's a great thing. You could go all day with that, you know.
Well, I know that my old business partner, my old buddy, Fran Tarkin, used to always talk about football terms. Can you imagine that? You know, I used to, you know, trip them up all the time because I used to say, yeah, I prefer to talk about baseball, Fran. And he would say, when are you flying back to Rochester? I said, I can leave any time. I really would like to go back now anyhow, you know. And he goes, okay, listen. He said, here's what I want to talk about, though, is that we've got a view. We have a crisis here in our office. And I said, okay, you love crisis because then your leadership comes out. And he goes, I love crisis because everybody's leadership comes out. He said, because you're going to find very quickly when things are really horrible, who it is that's got capabilities. Yeah, and that's why they probably said, you know, tested by steel. You know, that's why the band of brothers, and they talk about people who've gone into war and fighting together, how they're friends for lifetime because they know exactly what they're all capable of. And that doesn't happen, you know, superficially.
Oh, yeah. No,
but...
No. Yeah.
Listen, Bob, we've been blabbing a lot tonight, but I want to go ahead and do your Lone Granger spot because, you know, again, okay. I always have fun wondering how you're dreaming up stuff. And what's the letter tonight?
The letter is Q, you know, and, you know, like, it's a little bit...
James Bond?
Q as in James Bond or...
Q-tip
or...
Q-ball? No. Okay, no. I'll just be quiet.
None of that stuff.
Yep. That's, I'll play it and you can run with it, okay?
All right, give it to me. All right.
It's all yours.
Okay.
Horse. with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high-o silver.
So all of us, let's welcome our very own Lone Granger.
Well, thanks, Dave. Here, once again, we're back with the Climb Up the Success Ladder. Make sure that you remember your ABCs. Now, last week, the letter was P, and we started it out with, practice makes permanent, but perfect practice makes perfect, and so that's what we talked about last week. This week, it's the 12th letter of the alphabet, Q. To be honest, that was a little bit interesting. There's not a lot of words out there. Q, you know, when you're talking about success and then climb up the ladder, I mean, I started thinking all kinds of different things, quantum theory, but I got all boogered up trying to figure that out, you know, and then I thought about quack, and then which is pretender of knowledge, that's no good because that doesn't have anything with the climb up there. So I kept on thinking, I said, good heavens, what? And then I started thinking about our leadership, and I said, you know what? Why don't we talk about quitting? You know, not really quitting, but the quote that quitters never win and winners never quit. See, there, it's so important to understand that as you climb up that success ladder, I'm telling you, people want to quit when they're becoming a winner because it's hard. You have to stay excited about whatever opportunity that you're plugged into, whatever MLM or whatever business that you have. You have to stay excited. And I'm not talking about staying excited for 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years. I'm talking about staying excited. And you stay excited about everything, about your own life, your own family, your own business opportunity, the fact that you're in the USA. You need to stay excited all your life. And you can't ever, ever quit. Quitting is not an option. Real leaders understand that quitting is not an option. Real leaders. And even the leaders to be, as difficult as that is for them to come out of their shell and do better in their life, if they will just understand that quitting is not an option because quitters never win and winners never quit. That's the letter. That's the 12th letter. Dave, what do you think?
Good one. Good one. No, that's a good one. Because let me tell you something. This week, I was feeling like I wanted to quit. And I don't mean ambit. I mean that, you know, I'd be falling asleep in the middle of the afternoon. I'd wake up like I'd been in a boxing match with the old Muhammad Ali. And, it was an interesting one. I know I talked to you briefly. I know that Rob talked to me a few times and I think he could tell. But the thing is, you know, it goes back to that why, that thing. And then I remember at 2:10, I had to be at the bus stop to pick up my grandkids. And they come bounding off the bus, screaming for granddad, come on, let's play basketball, let's do this and that. And you know what, I just do it. I just push through it, you know. And I guess that's what you've got to do with business. You got to do it with life. I mean, who wants to get to be, you know, in their deathbed and just sit back and say, was that it? Right? Yeah. Is that all life was about? I mean, that would be horrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, that buckle
is strong
out there for everybody, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great one. And I think, again, we're going to be pretty keyed in on the leader part of this tonight. And we're going to do more and more of this. We're going to, you know, spend a lot of time talking about leadership tonight. It's a fleeting thing. That's why there's only so many leaders out there. The secret to it, more than anything, is making sure that not only when you recognize people, I mean, it goes back to some of the golden rules. You know, my grandfather used to always sit and tell me all these fun stories about growing up in Virginia and shooting squirrels and eating squirrels. A whole other story, but He would sit there and tell me things like, look, he said, you know, if you want to be a leader, you know, you've got to act like a leader. He said, you can't do things that aren't leader born, you know. And you say, granted, what do you mean? What are you saying? And I discovered 30, 40 years later, I figured it out. I figured what he was saying. And that is, it's the old thing about do unto others is they have do unto you. Treat people the way you'd like to be treated. You know, and I think that helps determine some leadership right there.
Yeah, it absolutely does. It's always about the other person. If you can really focus on that other person, take your eyes off yourself, you'll ultimately put yourself in a position of happiness. It's got to happen.
I agree.
You know?
You know, because I've got some leaders that you know, I got really close to, and I had some leaders that left my business. And, you know, quite frankly, they're still leaders in my eyes. You know, some things change along the way, but who they are as a person is still someone who I will trust, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that are willing to sort of stick their neck out a little bit, you know, don't work against their principles, and, you know, hope that together we just make some great things happen. You know, I'm looking for leaders that become friends for a lifetime, not for, you know, monetary reasons.
Boy, you know, that's interesting you say that too, Dave, because that's happened with me in the last 5 years. I've met some of the most wonderful, wonderful people. And I mean, I'm not talking about just a few people. I'm talking about scores and scores and scores of people. And some of them I'm becoming really good friends with. And even now I'm getting others that I'm becoming good friends with. It's so much fun, you know. I don't know. It's just been a real good run, you know. Just like with this show, it's a good run. Just shooting the bull, chatting about it. You know what I mean? And letting people know what we think about it.
Well, there's no question. And you know, I'm not going to do my brain hurts segment tonight because I'd be talking about how my body hurts. So I'm just deciding, it's too depressing. So I'm just going to let that go. But I will talk about just a couple fun things that we've had happen this last week. Because, again, here we are again. We're up at, you know, 45-plus minutes for our show. It's amazing because every time we start, Bob and I go, uh-oh, we should probably write something down, you know. But, you know, it was a nice surprise, you know, to be contacted by WCKG Radio Talk Station in Chicago just because of the fact they recognize that we have something that's pretty unique, and they're picking up on that. And, you know, to have them approach us, it's honorable. It feels good. You know, it feels good, too, because of the support we get from all the listeners. And, again, we're up over 2,000 to 2,500. Listen either live or via the podcast, the archive version, each and every week. And they're spreading the word, you know, and I think that's pretty exciting. That keeps things inspiring. You know, for me, this is a chance, a way that I can still teach and share, you know, with people. I couldn't really spend a whole lot of time traveling like I did in the very beginning stages, you know, but I can still do it this way, Bob. So, I mean, it's been a good week as far as that goes.
Couldn't believe when you texted me her comments. On
you were shocked, weren't you? Yep.
I was, you know, when she said that I have room in my show and interested in talking to you guys about, you know, like coming on the show. I thought, man, that's kind of cool. Chicago is a pretty big city, you know, and it's radio station. That's cool, you know.
Well, yeah, because we had just figured out how to conquer Afton, you know. I mean, so now all of a sudden, and I'm thinking, I don't know if Chicago is ready for us or not, you know.
Oh,
but
man.
We'll see. But her comment was that she loves the fact that we talk in some generic terms. She goes, she knows that we mentioned, you know, the business that you and I are in, but she also knows that, you know, we love talking about the profession itself, sort of like the old Eric Worre. And by the way, everybody, if you don't know this, you want to go to networkmarketingpro.com. Go there right now. Eric Worre has just launched something which is like the Netflix concept of unlimited training and teaching. You know, that he could literally charge, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 for all this material that he's making available.
Like
it's going
to
be just like Netflix.
Yeah.
What? He's doing a dollar trial for 7 days, and then after that, it's just $19 a month. But I mean, you're getting just incredible information. It's all geared towards helping people build their business. So, I mean, I have to throw a kudo out to him because that's a big deal. And also, you know, my good buddy Jordan Adler was just picked up. His book, Beach Money, is actually now listed in Amazon. So that's up there. And I know he is already starting to work on his next version, and he refuses to tell me the title. You know, I told him, I said, I don't know, lately I haven't seen you anywhere near a beach. You know, everything you've been is in your helicopter, or I think you signed up to be one of these people going up in space, you know. So I said, what are you going to call it? You know, space money? Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a piece of work. You know what he's doing? He's living his life. He's living the lifestyle. Yeah. He's enjoying what this business has done for him. And I love that. I just love that.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's why you work.
Well, Bob, do you have any last leadership comments? Because if not, we're going to do our close. We're going to wrap up tonight. Look forward to again next week. What do you have else to say, Bob?
All I have to say is that, you know, everyone, if they choose, has the ability to decide to become a leader. You know, and all you have to do is just get plugged in, get yourself knowledged up a little bit, and enjoy people, enjoy helping people, and you'll develop into it. It's just something you'll develop into if you want it. And so just relax with it and enjoy the climb up that ladder.
And treat people the way you would like yourself to be treated. How's that?
Absolutely. I love that.
Okay, everybody. Everybody be great. We got a great little clip here. It's only a couple minutes long, so we'll see everybody at the end of this. And then next week, we'll be back for more shenanigans.
Ray. People will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom.
Well, I'm going to stop that because it did not upload the one I was thinking about. So, hey, guess what, everybody? We're still going to finish on time because I don't have that inspiring message to everybody that I normally put in there. But here's what I can tell you. Yeah, I know you're laughing, Bob. You see, come on, you know, but it's okay because this is how we roll. We never know what we're going to say next, but when we do it, we're sometimes in trouble and sometimes we're not, but most of the times we wish we were. But make sure you get your whole team. Go to 2blacksheepradio.com. We have every single show. I think we're up to episode 23, I think it is right now, and all of them are archived. So all of them you can go and listen to, and we're going to have more and more things up there, especially if we decide to move forward with doing this radio show, this live business talk show in Chicago, which will be syndicated. In that case, boy, we're going to have a lot of fun. So everybody, again, make sure that you hang out with us next week, same sheep time, 8:30 p.m. every Thursday. Let your team know. And remember, being a black sheep is not a bad thing. It just makes us a little bit more unique. See y'all later. Bye-bye.